This morning's message, Bearing the Sins of Others, Part 2. We will finish off what we started last week in the book of Ezekiel, Bearing the Sins of Others. And I told you, Ezekiel was representative of us laying there bearing one another's sins. And, you know, we have to put up with one another's sins a whole lot. It's a lot that we do that we just have to learn to forbear. God told us, you know, that that's a fruit of the Spirit. Forbearance is a fruit of the Spirit. And it was coming from Ezekiel chapter 4. I won't read that whole chapter today because I spoke on it at great length last week. But Ezekiel chapter 4 and portions of Ezekiel 5, 10 through 17. And it says the 10th verse of the 4th chapter, "And thy meat which thou shalt eat shall be thine weight by weight, 20 shekels a day, from time to time shalt thou eat it. Thou shalt drink also water by the measure, the sixth part of an hin, from time to time shalt thou drink it. And thou shalt eat it as barley cakes, and thou shalt bake it with dung that cometh out of man in their sight." And the Lord said, "And even thus shall the children of Israel eat their defiled bread among the Gentiles, whither I will drive them. Then said I, O Lord God, behold, my soul had not been polluted, for from my youth up even until now have I not eaten of that which died of itself, or is torn in pieces. Neither there came any abominable flesh into my mouth. Then he said unto me, Lo, I have given thee cow's dung for man's dung, and thou shalt prepare thine bread therewith. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, behold, I will break the staff of bread in Jerusalem, and they shall eat bread by weight and with care, and they shall drink water by measure and with astonishment, that they may want bread and water and be astonished one with another, and consume away for their iniquities." Verse 10, the 5th chapter, "Therefore the father shall eat the sons in the midst of thee, and the sons shall eat their fathers. And I will execute judgments in thee, and the whole remnant of thee will I scatter into all the winds. Wherefore, as I live, said the Lord God, surely because thou hast defiled my sanctuary with all thine detestable things, and with all thine abominations, therefore I will also diminish thee. Neither shall thine my eyes spare, neither will I have any pity. A third part of thee shall die with the pestilence, with famine shall they be consumed in the midst of thee, and a third part shall fall by the sword round about thee. And I will scatter a third part of all to all the winds, and I will draw out a sword after them. Thus shall my anger be accomplished, and I will cause my fury to rest upon them, and I will be comforted, and they shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it in my zeal, when I have accomplished my fury in them. Moreover, I will make the waste and the reproach among the nations that are round about thee in the sight of all that pass by. So it shall be a reproach and a taunt and instruction and astonishment unto the nations that are round about thee, when I shall execute judgments round about thee in anger and in fury and in furious rebukes. I, the Lord, have spoken. When I shall send upon them the evil arrows of famine, which shall be for their destruction, and which I will send to destroy you, and I will increase the famine upon you, and will break your staff of bread. So I will send you famine and evil beasts, and they shall bereave thee, and pestilence and blood shall pass through thee, and I will bring the sword upon thee. I, the Lord, have spoken it." It doesn't sound like a weak and a meek God. That's the same God of the New Testament that a lot of us are following, this Jesus that we preach. A lot of the preachers preach it as a Jesus that allows for anything, and we just can do anything and serve him. I was reading in the paper this morning about some of the smaller churches, the congregation is getting so small, and that they're barely making ends meet. And you know, I understand that because we have that problem. But we're not going to go to the extent that they've gone to. You just have to tie a knot and hold on in God. You just have to take the hard time. And that's what Ezekiel was going to have to do.
to represent the people he had to lay on his side, he had put the iniquity on the people on him. So he had to lay on his side 390 days on one side for Israel, 40 days on the other side for Judah. Now, like I said, this wasn't consistent 24 hours a day. But it shows that when the people would see him lying, they're wondering what's going on. Like a lot of us should wonder what's going on in the world today. A lot of us are bearing one another's burdens. And we're doing it just like Ezekiel, without murmuring and complaining. We may have children, and a lot of us know parents, they call them the empty nesters of nowadays. You have to help your children along a lot of times. They may be growing or whatever, but they are in all kinds of trouble or shortness. And, you know, as Brother Parker said, a lot of them can't hold jobs nowadays. It's a lot of men that are not men anymore. When you used to get a man's daughter and take him away, you didn't bring her back that soil and you kept her. When y'all will go through hard times. It's gonna be, but you have to be a man. You have to be a man. So a lot of times we go help our children because that's the God-fearing thing to do. If you don't take care of your own, you're less than infidel. But, you know, I'm getting up in age, and that's why I bear down on them. And I eat the whole roll myself first. We have to partake of, just like the Bible, he told Ezekiel, eat the roll, eat the whole roll. We have to make sure we're in God's Word. And as we eat God's word, then we can tell them what it says, and God will sustain us and have us to be able to hold them up with just a little bit that we have. On a fixed income or with small money or whatever, you will have to help your sons and daughters if they fall on hardship. It's going to be relatives and things that you may have to help. It's going to be people in the church that you may have to help. But see, Ezekiel, with this barley cake that he was eating that had millet and stuff, do you know that you take barley and wheat, which is a flour mixture like, but these lentils and millet and finch that he was adding to it, them was beans and other stuff. It's just like a little bread that he made, a cake, a little bit, and it was only a little bit. But what he was eating to show the scarcity in that he was eating just anything. You know how a lot of us, we eat neck bones or a little beans here sometimes. Sometimes grits with no meat, you know, just grits and eggs or whatever. Just to make ends meet, we eat scarcely so that we could help up. I noticed Sister Harris started that where we, on Bible study. She puts in, starts offering in. She places offering. I place offering in there. The rest of us that place offerings in there. We see our finances changing a little bit because it is Bible that you shouldn't come in the house of the Lord and not leave an offering behind. Am I right? Am I right? But God's going to sustain us, and that's why he's told Ezekiel he was just going to have a little bit to eat. A lot of time, God don't give us a whole lot. If he give us a lot of us a whole lot, we would squander it and waste it. And you're eating too high on the hog. A lot of them, that's why a lot of disease out there today, they're eating a lot of unclean things that they shouldn't be eating. All these things. Now, we right here in the soup with you now. All of us in the same soup. We all down here together. We in this together. And Ezekiel was in it with him, but he was showing because of y'all filthiness, y'all uncleanness, that's why I have to wash my feet. That's why we wash our feet during communion, because we all in this thing together, but we that are clean by Jesus Christ need not wash. It's just our feet because we're interacting with y'all. But y'all eating all this catfish, ham, all these things that God's word says unclean. You're using profanity, you drive down the road, it's coming out of the jukeboxes, it's all on the television. We've been defiled by the world around us, but we can't get away from the world. He said, keep them in the world, but keep them from the evil in the world. So that's why we got to have this book to wash us and cleanse us, to sustain us, that we don't become like them. If we eating the roll, we're going to fear that God that I was just reading about, because what he was going to do to them, the hard times that are coming, you see them on the news. In St. James, this little girl that someone stole away from a home, and could be the fiancé, they said. But they're crying on television all the time about their young men being shot down and all this happening in the neighborhoods. Well, I see the word is right. What? You mean the church is uniting together? Say, oh, we got to do this in the community. We got to do this. No, you don't have to do all that. That's Bible. They're going to get shot down. He said, I'm going to kill your young men with a sword. I'm going to do all this. Why? Because you ain't living right and you ain't making them live right. If the parents would get in line, you know these children that's out there on drugs. You know them that's out there walking with their pants and things all down. That's uncleanliness. We're being defiled by that. You're dressing your children like harlots. A lot of these 12, 15-year-old girls look like aged women. That's why they get all these things happening. A lot of women cannot contain themselves. If they have naked and catch some man out there, what kind of man that they will catch? They're not going to catch a real man, as Brother Parker said. Men are scared. They will catch a man that's out there looking at a woman's body, looking at her uncleanliness, her breast and thing all out, her pants all up, wet man, I can't even pronounce. Got tattoos on parts of her body. I don't see how she could have had them there. She should be more delicate than that. But we live in a polluted world. You marry those men and don't marry them and bring them in your house. No wonder they going with your daughters, because she's just like you. He told them in Genesis, Revelation. He said, I'm going to take Jezebel and her children and throw them all in a bed of death. They're going to die the second death. That's what's going to happen. You mean to tell me you allow your daughter to leave home with this guy and we just stand together? We'll get married later on. That's fornication. You need to abstain till you married. You can't live together. In my day, they call it shacking, a common law. But that's not Bible. That's fornication. He said all fornications and adulterers have their part. But a lot of us, the older people, we're scraping to get by. We're eating parts of the cow, the hog, and everything else, putting pennies together, our little fixed income, and you're doing a little side work and everything. They're they running around not really taking care of their children right, not taking care of their responsibilities right. They get their hair done, their nails and things done. What? You paying all this money on this? We're in it. We're in this soup. He says, you're going to eat your bread with scarcity. Ezekiel was eating just a small portion a day. That's what he was eating. It says a hen, and that portion was equivalent to about 6 to 8 ounces of bread a day, about a pint of water. See, so we're breaking our bread. A lot of us go in there and we old fashioned, we make tomato sandwiches. We make all kinds of little things to eat. We skimp on meals. He says, your water shall be a hen a day. That was about a pint and a half portion of the water. And see, we're having scarcity in our lives. They don't know what scarcity is. You got two opposite ends of the extreme here. In other words, he says that they shall waste away. You couldn't waste away by being obese also. Because then you suffer with high blood pressure, diabetes, or whatever. Medical injuries take place then. That's another way that you could die from a pestilence. High blood pressure, all these other things, diabetes and gout, and all these other things that derive from what you eat. And you see, instead of they putting the money back into the homes, they'd rather get a cell phone and talk to anybody, and men worse than the women nowadays. I don't know, he came in this morning and he said something that I need to keep harping on. That the men are scarce. I've never seen so many men with so much to talk about always on a cell phone more than the women. And what's happening is that they're putting all those cell phones that they're using, that money could be going in a household. Most houses don't have a landline anymore. They're not being a part of the family, so they're eating at separate times. It costs much more for you to go in there and fix you something to eat instead of eating what we've cooked. They don't want to eat what you cook. They want to cook, eat something separate. Or when you get home or your wife get home, she got to find something to cook. They didn't eat up all of the easy eating food. All the little snack stuff, they didn't been in there and ate all that up. And that they don't do that with, they squander it out in the street because the food's so cheap nowadays. You can go get a Happy Meal. You can go to churches right now and get a two-piece with biscuits or whatever for $1.99, $2.49. You can stop at all these little fast. So those that aren't skimping and trying to help, they're being obese and we're overweight now. We're eating so much. And the next thing we're doing, it's unclean now. Listen, it's unclean. The food was a type and a shadow in the Old Testament. We hear of types and shadows. See, because we might not bow down to idols in such as they did. But that television is an idol. Some of them sat in front of that day and night, watch all kinds of everything on that television. You're paying $100, $200 a month for DirecTV or UVerse or whatever you have. All that money and the stuff, the garbage that come on there portrays life not like it really is. It portrays life as a dream. You live in a fantasy. In the book of Jude say, these filthy dreamers defile the flesh with their daydreams. You know, if you married, it's wrong to be watching and seeing that filth on television. Because you assuming and not listening or living the real life that you're in, and you want to live in that dreamland or that fantasy, now you want your husband or wife to fulfill what you see on television. That's not real. You want her to be the size and the weight of those people in those pornographic films that a lot of you watch. Not just the men. Women watch porn now more than men, the studies say. Because there have always been soft porn out there. You know soap operas is soft porn. That's all it's about, lovemaking. All these novels and things place you into a false world. It's unclean. That's how we get polluted, and we need to be washed from the filth. Because Job said, I shall set no evil thing before my eyes. Jesus came back and he magnified what Job said. He said, he that even look up on a woman to lust after committed adultery in his heart already. Ezekiel was bearing the sins. We're bearing the sins of this society right now. You couldn't go from here to downtown without somebody dressed in a lascivious way. If you go out there dressed to make somebody look at you in a lewd way of dress so you'll cause a desire, that's called lasciviousness. Those are works of the flesh. That's uncleanness. That has to deal with sexual immorality in the Bible. Oh, y'all old fashioned, y'all preach on the law. Sure, I preach on the law. Because he said, those that keep my commandments and my testimonies, we're commandment keepers. And he gave us a commandment. Read it in the book of Leviticus. It says, thou shalt not look upon your wife's mother or sister's nakedness or your uncle's. You shouldn't look upon anybody's nakedness. And God covered your shame. And your young men walking around here revealing their underwear and everything. God covered you. Your clothing ain't going to do. That's why he killed an animal and told Adam, said, them fig leaves ain't going to do. Something ain't going to be right. Let me put on proper clothing. They don't even put on proper clothing. That's an unclean, filthy habit. Sagging. We've got uncleanliness here. And we will have to bear the sins that they are doing here, but we will have to be above the fray. Now, we don't have to mix in that fray. Because there's someone that cleanses us. That's another point. God cleanses us. We should be being washed in the blood of the Lamb. That's how he cleanses. He says, the book of Psalms says, wherewith how shall a young man cleanse his ways or purify his way? By taking heed to the word of God. This is the only thing that could wash you. Whiter than snow. By taking heed, let that word be written on your heart. The tablets of your heart, if that's your God, if that's your law, God says you should be meditating in it day and night. Now you got to be a man. Now you can't, he don't want no halfway men. He told Joshua, be strong and of a good courage. Because in Revelations he said, those that are fearful, they can't enter in the kingdom of heaven. We see that all through the Bible. Look at Leviticus again. He says, those when you go into war, those among you that are fearful and scared, tell them to go back, because it caused other people to be scared. Don't hang around a scared person. That spirit is contagious. See, Job showed us what God says when he says we're covered by the blood. Job was covered. That's Old Testament. How are you covered by the blood? If you just same way when they put the blood on the doorposts of the lintels, and the children of Israel were covered by the blood. Unless you have blood applied to your life, God see you in a different way. He see you as the enemy. We have to be under the blood of the Son. See, Job, that's why the Bible could say he was a perfect and upright man, because he unshown evil. He looked at evil differently. But he didn't have all we had of the Spirit to purge us and to cleanse us. You know why I said you can still see little flaw lines in Job that God needed to clean up? Because he had one thing in him that we shouldn't have in us. He had fear in him. Didn't Job say, "That which I feared has come unto me"? You see, he was not necessarily worried. That showed Job's integrity. He was perfect and upright before God. And that's why we have to bear that iniquity, is that going through trial and tribulations, as the brother was praying, we will have those storms in the life, but the storm is to strengthen us. It's to prove us. It's to cleanse us from all those fears, all spots and blemishes. Those storms bring you through and make you trust in God. It brought Job through. That's what made him trust in God. Job says, "That which I fear had come up on me." Now see, he wasn't tied to his children. He said, "You know, it hurt me to lose all my children," but he wasn't tied to the children life like his wife was. See, his wife said, "You didn't lost. You just was to curse God and die." No, no. "I shall receive good in his hands, not bad. Far be it from that. You don't sound like my wife." Now, he lost camels and sheep and oxen, but he says, "Look, yet though you slay me, yet I'll serve you. I'll serve you till I die. In my body, just hide me in the grave. But I know one day I'll stand before you." He believed in the resurrection. He believed in the resurrection. See, but we come over to the New Testament. When we received of the Spirit of God, what he told Timothy, he says, "Timothy, God hadn't given you a spirit of fear, but that of power and a sound mind." We got to put the devil on the run. He got too many of us on the run. We whining and complaining and all mumbling about our problems. We should let the Lord bear those burdens. He didn't put that on us to bear. If you come unto me, I told you, that's who's going to wash you and clean you. We will be washed by the blood of the Lamb. Now see, the Gentiles, if you get dirty with your wife, let me just say spouse, because it may be the wife getting dirty with the husband. Let me see your children, because your children a lot of times is what sway you. That's what had got Eli. You remember he told him, say, "I told you to get your house in order. You didn't. Your sons was laying with the women at the gate of the temple. I'm going to kill you and your whole house because you didn't do this." See, that's why he came to Abraham. He said, "Because I know Abraham is going to teach his children my commandments. He's going to teach them my laws." You're not a man if you hadn't tried to tell your children the laws of God and the commandments of God. Now, you can't make them follow it. That's what Ezekiel relieves us of that. He said, "The fathers are not answerable to the sons, nor the sons to the fathers." But you need to tell them. Now, if you don't warn them, you'll watch them. And if you don't warn them, right? Now, the blood on your hands if you don't tell them. See, that's why, like I say, when I'm at these gatherings, I keep warning. I don't be a stick in the mud. But you need to warn people and tell people where that line is. Where God's borders are. So he killed Samuel's sons. So what we have to be is that wall of partition, and the Gentiles have to be that. So are you a watchman? God wants his watchman clean. Now you can't tell nobody else if you're not doing it. That's why I say you can't go around on somebody else's worship days and things and tell somebody about the Sabbath. It's hard to do that. You got to know, say, "This is my day. Every time I see Brother Parker on Sundays over there mowing at Capitol, at the dentist place or whatever, I say, I look like I see a man who knows what the first day of the week is. I'll be hollering that so somebody could hear somewhere. Because tomorrow is the first day of the week. That's the day you should be working, not in church. It should be the day that you should be. It's the Lord's day. Now, I don't know what day you worship on. See, that's what polluted them. When he took them to Babylon, a lot of the Jews start worshiping and intermingling. And as I was telling you about the congregations that's merging, when you do that, you're going to have to compromise. A lot of them compromise the staff and the pastors. So for money and for the sake of the church going on, they got four or five churches meeting in there. You can't mix doctrine. Doctrine has to be pure. That's what God is, holy. It is pure. You can't have all these different doctrines together. He says, preach the word. And that's sound doctrine. Well, we can't compromise one inch. One inch in your dirt. A little leaven will leaven the whole lump. We're not giving on the Sabbath. The doors just have to close first, but that's God's problem. See, we're trying to do God's problem. Let God handle those things. You just preaching. You just standing for what God says. You being Job, though he slay me, yet I'm going to serve him as he say. I don't see in his word where he moved the Sabbath. What'd you say? I don't see that. So they were allowing themselves to be contaminated, God's people. That's our example, those of the Old Testament. Look in the book of Amos, the 17th verse. It says, therefore, thus says the Lord, your wife shall be a harlot in the city, and your sons and daughters shall fall by the sword, and your land shall be divided up by line. You yourself shall die in an unclean and defiled land, and Israel shall surely go forth out of his land into exile. Why? Because God had given them everything, and they didn't stand for it. You have to stand for something or you'll fall for it. If you shame to own the Sabbath, if you shame to tell everybody else out there and not compromise with that, he's going to be ashamed to own you. If you ashamed of any of these precepts, if you ashamed of holiness, you're not worthy of being a witness. He said, you're my witnesses. We spoke, that's what Israel did. They failed to glorify God. A lot of us shy away from that in front of other people alone in multitudes. You don't want to stand up for what you believe in. Man don't stand up for what he believes in. He's a mighty poor man and he's fooling and deceiving himself. He's unstable in his all ways. And Paul said, no, it's not to eat with that kind of man. He ain't going nowhere in life. In the book of Hosea, the 9th chapter, 3rd through the 4th verse, they shall not remain in the Lord's land, but Ephraim shall return another into Egypt, and they shall eat unclean food in Assyria. They shall not pour out wine offerings to the Lord, neither shall they be pleasing to him. Their sacrifices shall be to them as the bread of mourners. All who eat of them shall be defiled, for their bread shall be for their appetite. It shall not come into the house of the Lord. You know, it's something when God don't accept your sacrifices or your offering. That's a lot of churches and a lot of places that accept an offering that shouldn't be offered unto the Lord. He said, don't bring the hire of a dog into the house of the Lord. You can't just earn money any kind of way and think that the church is supposed to accept that money. As I said, the Pharisees knew better than that. Even though they had given him the money, after he did what was unclean with it, they said, that's blood money. We can't accept that in our sanctuary. And Judas went out and hanged himself. Don't lower your standards for money. If you're chasing after this world, don't be like Josie. That which you fear, if you fear poverty, if you fear all those things, Jesus had told us not to worry about food, raiment, all these things. But if you got to work two jobs and talking about sending your money here, don't do that. As your pastor, I wouldn't tell you to do that because I would be violating the scripture that says, forsake not the assembling together of yourselves. I got to give account for your soul. It is more important that you be with the brethren than encumbered by much work like Martha was. See, Mary chose the good thing to hear the word of God. Man shall work 6 days. Now, I'm not saying be idle, be lazy. But if you tithe and give your offerings to God, if you live the way he say live, you trust in him, he's going to make that meal last. He's going to do like the word. If you obeying him, he's going to make that last. But if you chase after the world, you sure will lose it all. He who gains that shall lose his soul. You'll be like the rich man building bigger barns. You have to take care that your soul is right. The soul that sinned shall die, and the transgress God's commandments is sin. But we're doing like the Gentiles, and we're earning money, but there are holes in our pockets. He's causing holes to be there. There's always going to be some problem come up at home. It's going to be a place to put that little extra money you thought. And it's going to get worse and worse. Be true to yourself. Fall on God's mercy. That's what Ezekiel was telling them here. That God was going to destroy them because they were hard-hearted. They wouldn't repent. Repent means turn around. Confess what you're doing wrong. And get up back on the right way. Trust in God and his word. Now, your spouses might not like that. Your children might not like that. People are not going to like you to be on the straight and narrow. But you have to get on the straight and narrow to be able to put them on that. See, David lived right, and all Solomon had in his life was because of his father. He said he wasn't going to even take the kingdom away from Solomon at that time for his father David's sake. Hezekiah lived a righteous life, but Hezekiah did something wrong. And he said, I'm not going to do this, but I'll do it in your son's life. Now, God's going to honor you for the part that you live right before him. Ezekiel said, Lord, didn't I do this and do that? Okay, God gave him an extension of life, but then pride lifted him up and he showed the king of Babylon all that he had. So God pulled him down. God's going to pull a lot of us down. We've been saved in the land of the Lord. And I tell you, it's not geographical. God's world is not geographical. In other words, it's universal. It's not just in Israel. It's universal. So God had given you things, but he's going to take your inheritance away. He's going to take all that you have away because you're not serving him. And if you don't serve God, he'll cause the cake of worm to eat at all that you have. You will have to draw a line and stand. And it's going to go against a lot of the things you love because why? You made them an idol. They have polluted your life. You're not half what you used to be. See, people grab hold to you, but they see the anointing of God on you, and they're nothing but the devil, and the devil come to rob, kill, and destroy. Job's wife could have pulled him down. What? Yeah, he could have. Solomon's wife pulled Solomon down. Didn't he warn Solomon about that? That they was going to defile him? And he came, appeared to Solomon twice. But Solomon was going to do this thing religiously and keep that clean in his life. So if we read in the book of 2 Chronicles, the 8th chapter and the 11th verse, it's a strange verse. I heard a preacher preaching on this one time. Solomon brought the daughter of Pharaoh out of the city of David into the house he had built. For he said, my wife shall not dwell in the house of David, king of Israel, because the places are holy to which the ark of the Lord has come. That seemed like a throwaway verse. A lot of people hadn't read or studied that verse. Solomon had been warned of God in a dream that his foreign wives were going to take his heart away from God. Right? Warned him twice. The New Testament says, do not be unequally yoked. With all his wisdom and knowledge, Solomon married all these foreign wives. And what happened was, he knew that God's house was holy, and you can't bring what's unholy into God's house. So they were seen as being unclean. The Gentiles were seen as unclean people at that time. Like I said, it's a metaphor, a type of shape for us today, that you shouldn't be marrying these people of different denominations. you shouldn't be marrying. You should marry who God has for you to marry. So you might should wait before you get married. Seek ye the kingdom of God, and a wife will be added unto you, instead of you going lusting after a wife, a husband. If you get a husband or a wife through lust, you'll live to regret it. Your whole relationship won't get on the right course and won't ever, because the foundation is wrong. So Solomon knew this woman wasn't right because the law prohibited him from marrying foreign wives, especially the king. So you can't live in the same house with your wife. So what he did, he started building these wives their own houses. You see where high start? They're in their own house, and then we need a temple. So he built temples to Ashtar, Chemosh, Molech, all of their gods. She rubbed his head at night, cuddle him, and get all perfumey for him. Well, baby, you got to go to church with me tomorrow. Solomon went into their temples and worshiped their God. You can do that with God. That's, you shall love the Lord thy God and him only. See, so you broke down the wall. No wonder your life fell apart, Solomon. No wonder it fell apart. You forsake God for these women. A man who had given the world the most wisdom and knowledge came back and wrote Ecclesiastes where he said it was all vanity and vexation. Because he was living life under the sun. He wasn't living a spiritual life. If you're living a spiritual life, you can dig ditches for a living. It's not going to be that hard because God is in that ditch with you and he's going to make you able to bear it. A lot of people say, well, how can you work out that? You don't see I got somebody helping me. You don't see my help. See, the world can't see God. You getting a little money here and a little money there. How many times that you're working and going on, somebody just say, come get this little money I got for you. Come get this. See, you don't need a whole lot. See, we're not thinking for the world because God told us labor not to be rich. See, because you didn't got polluted with the world, you're thinking like the world, and you trying to live by bread, but God says you shouldn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth. This is how you should be living, according to his word. So what happens is that as we're living for that word, he is a strength. He was sustained. Ezekiel wasn't eating enough to sustain him, not 6 ounces of bread. Let somebody, if you weigh out bread, let you eat 3 slices of bread and a pint of water a day for 390 days. That's a year and a half. See how long you last. What sustained Jesus in the wilderness? The 40 days? What sustained Moses? The 40 days. God. God breathed the breath of life in us. He gave you the Spirit. The Spirit give it life. The Spirit give it life. Without that life given forth, you have no life. God gives you life. That's why when he says he breaketh the staff of bread, in other words, the nutrition that's in bread. You know, when you get a certain age, if you notice God's process take effect. I was telling my children the other day that I wanted some salmon to eat. They was going to have the catfish fry and everything. I said, well, give me some salmon. Smoke me some salmon or whatever. Now, they know why I say that, because fins and scales. But not that food commend me to God. But did you know as you get older, your body don't process food the same way or whatever? And that's why a lot of old people waste away or whatever. You're living, but God calls you not even have an appetite. You have to have God in you to have an appetite. A lot of people just don't feel like going because they don't have that. That's the spirit. You're not. The doctors are telling you, get a little faith to get your spirit up. David pined away the whole year he had been with Bathsheba. He says, Lord, create in me a clean spirit. Renew a right spirit in me. See, because you can't live for the world and live for God. He's going to be strength and health to your bones. He is what makes you strong. Your body can't process that. Man shall not. You cannot sustain. The only way you become a living soul is through the Spirit. The Spirit give it life. You have eternal life abiding in you. The soul that sinned shall die. If you want to lose weight, get God on your side. You want to gain weight, get God on your side. You want to stoop, day all these things, do like, now this is a leper here. I'm getting close to closing time or whatever. I can't. He says, who is this leper? The leper came to Jesus and he says, Lord, cleanse him. He was asking for cleansing. And the leper says, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Indicating confidence and trust in the Lord. And that's what we have to do, is have trust and confidence in the Lord. See, the leper realized he had a problem. But you notice that he didn't ask for healing. He asked to be cleansed. See, you can be healed in that cleanse. See, but he asked for cleansing. To show you that, two different things. I put it in your notes, I think. Matthew 10 and 8, where he says, heal the sick and cleanse the leper. The leprosy was something put on people by God because of sin. And all leprosy wasn't unto death. So that was a metaphor, a type or shadow, that some things in life God has to cleanse us. I'm still under that one point of it takes Jesus to cleanse us. We're washed in the blood of the Lamb. And see, the church is given for to remove every spot and wrinkle out of your life. See, as Brother Parker says, we're the church. We come in the building to worship. As we gather together, we are the ecclesia there. But see, out there we can speak healing to one another. His word, he sent his word to heal us. That's why he says, I wish that all y'all should prophesy. Me and Bro Parker sometime beside the road, we just talking scripture back and forth to one another. He'll call me, I'll call him, we say in scripture. That word heals us. That's why he says exhort one another. I don't talk with a whole lot of people that for a whole lot of foolishness. But we should bear one another's burdens. And we should lift one another up. That's the healing. But the cleansing part, the word cleanses us. We're washed by the word of God. See, so there's something else in your life. And see, some of us don't have a teachable spirit. We don't want to learn. You think when somebody tell you something, then you say, you got to learn that yourself. Or you know everything. You see, but you have to be teachable. You have to become as a little child to inherit the kingdom of God. It's good points in what all God causes his word not to return unto him void. So if they're speaking you the word of God, you might want to take, you know, constructive criticism from some of it. So we're not to be confused with having the works of the flesh, but we got to realize we have to be cleansed by the word of God. And then Paul says, laying aside every weight and sin that's besetting us. You see, because it doesn't necessarily have to be sin as such, but it's unclean and you need to get out of there. You around a lot of people. Yesterday, when I was together with my family and things, didn't hear profane words. It wasn't profanity being played in the music in there. There wasn't any unclean games or no shooting or anything after that. The company you keep sometimes, even at family gatherings, could become hazardous. You hear of a lot of family shooting, is get togethers, ends up in a shooting or whatever. There has to be God's presence, and you have to bring God's presence to that affair. And there's no telling, you can't tell me that if Brother Parker go with his family or someone else, they know what he stands for, and they can respect that part of it. Everybody will say, well, look, well, we've away Brother Parker. We ain't going to do this because Brother Parker here. But if when you are around other people and they do anything in front of you and keep offering to you or something, you need to check yourself. Your faith, because they're not afraid to approach you on your ground, and then they'll quote scripture to you. Why? You shouldn't worship on a Sabbath. When once they see they got you right there, then they'll start coming after you. That's what Satan did Jesus. He thought he could approach him on scriptural ground. See, but he didn't understand the word of God. It's a lot of people out there hearing the word of God. But the famine comes from not being able to understand. He that has spiritual ears. I know you know what it says, but do you understand? It's a difference when the old people used to say, you didn't hear me, did you? The reason they told you, said you didn't hear me is because they told you not to do something and you were still doing that. That meant the next time they was going to be on top of you hard and heavy and fast, because if you'd have heard them, you wouldn't have did it. But a lot of us hear God's word and we don't do God's word. We must don't hear God's word, or we must don't fear it. If you're hearing God's word, you wouldn't keep doing the same thing you're doing. You fear, reverence, and honor that God. You don't have wisdom now that you understand. He who is born of God sinneth not. You shouldn't continue in sin. You can't live the same way. How can a homosexual sit on these seats day after day? I'm not preaching the word, or he don't fear the God I serve. Something's unclean about your life. You have to live the life before you can cast any other devils out. Or the devils will jump you. They're proud up on you. So he says, you can clean me if you want to, but are you willing to be clean? See, you have to be a willing vessel. There are things we can do that we have to do. The devil can only do what you allow him. Who let? So if you can't rule your house, don't try to rule the house of God. Charity begins at home. And as you get that house in order, you go get this wherever you go. You should carry that authority with you. The kingdom of God is within you. When you come in, the word should come in with you. The word was made flesh. The word dwelt among us. We dwell here in an unclean land, in a defiled land, but we have to dress this world up. We have to do as God says, I put you in the garden to dress it, to keep it. We should be watchers and keepers, and when they see us coming, they should see Jesus coming. And it's not us we hate. We shouldn't take offense to these things because they hate Christ in us. But if they love you, if the world loves you, you're not a friend of God. They didn't love him, and if they did it to the green tree, if they did it to the dry tree, it's going to happen the same way to you as it your master. But if the world embrace you, we'll be under you. You're too tight with them. You're too tight with them. And I would, like I said, we can't say anything out of a fountain, sweet water, sour water, bitter water can't come out. If something happens to you, something all of a sudden, somebody can make your anger and a curse word come out, check yourself. That should be part. What's in a man's will come out. What goes into him don't defile, but what's coming out of you. If your friends could come in front of you and talking about the women they run, or any kind of thing that's not godly, that's not pure, you need to check yourself. God gives honor to those that honor him, lastly. If you honor God, he's caused you to be highly honored. That's why he was causing or bringing judgment upon them. Notice this is punishment now. You punish your children. It's not judgment. You punish your children, right? And see, this punishment, some of them was going to come back. They took heed to this. You read later on, he says, I paid them double for their sin. But I used to be trying to do all things right, me and my brothers. That's why I was in the family. I was the Joseph of the family. Because when mama or daddy wasn't there, I was always, no, we can't do this, y'all. Well, you just like Joseph. You always tell us of doing this and that. Why? I tell you, we're all here in the same world. We're all in this boat. Not no more, some of us. Because we didn't got hooked up with the world. But you know what I'm talking about. Your daddy, your mom, they would whip everybody. Because you stood there and let him do it. You seen him do it or whatever. They grew up with a better integrity back then because they knew, don't follow a multitude to do wrong. Don't do wrong just because somebody else is doing wrong. And if you see wrong, don't be scared to speak out. Right now, people can see people killed out there, and the witnesses won't come forward. It is your obligation to witness, to be a witness. We don't want to get involved now. You are your brother's people. We all taking this same thing. We all in the same boat. We all getting punished because of what Adam did. We all getting punished for what our family did. And I look back and I say, Lord, somewhere along the line, I must didn't do something right. I deserve what I'm getting, just like David. He had problems in his family. All was going on. And David kept interceding even for Absalom, the one who was trying to kill him. That's for Barry. Because he have to look at it as a failure somewhere in his life that he might have been in before. But don't blame Shiv. You stand to God and confess to God. And God will come in and defend you. That's what Israel wouldn't do. They wouldn't humble themselves. He said, but if my people would just humble themselves and pray, then I'll hear from heaven. He can solve all your problems. He can cleanse you up. But you must acknowledge your problem. You must acknowledge your dirtiness and your filth. When Isaiah seen the Lord, he says, Lord, I'm unworthy. I'm a man of unclean lips. Peter says, Lord, I'm not worthy to come in your presence. When you start seeing God, you'll see how dirty you are. But before you don't see God, you'll be like Pharisees. You'll be in your own righteousness. When you see God, your holiness will pale in comparison. You'll be on your knees and say, I'm the chiefest of sinners. But your life has to be cleaned up. Now, you may not live in abundance. If you're living in abundance, he's doing you like he did the children of Israel. You're desiring and lusting after the wrong thing, and he'll make you eat quail to come out of your nostrils. He gave them meat to abundance, and it is what killed them. Don't desire riches or quick riches in vain. Labor to enter in. When you enter into his rest, he'll give you rest. Work won't be no more toil. You can work all day. You're consistent. If you see that young man there working, you think it's a 20, 30-year-old man out there working. Because God has showed him how to pace himself. And he's doing what he likes, and he takes pride in it. And these people running around here with contracts and all this here, I bet you, I had never asked him, but I bet you most of his contracts is verbal, that the people say, I know you and this and that, and they just hold to it. He don't worry about his money. He cut a yard. Most of them don't even be there when he comes. And they call him and say, come get it. Because he trusted in God, that God ain't going to let nobody steal him. Because he's the steward of God. And if you steal from me, you're stealing from God. But if you coming in church stealing from God, God will call somebody out there to steal from you. That law of sowing and reaping. You robbing God. God ain't going to let no robbers off, is he? You going to pay somewhere. If you dance to the music, you have to pay the price. Let us cleanse our lives. We may have to eat small rations, but remember, we don't want to be a hypocrite. We do need to bear the burdens of others. We do need to walk. But look, you know why you can bear those burdens as I'm closing? Because we're not bearing our own burdens. We've come to Christ and we've laid all our burdens upon him. So that's why it's so easy. People be saying, well, you ain't worried about this. You ain't. Nah, he hadn't given me that spirit of fear. If the bird's not worrying how they go eat, God told me to work. And when you go out there and work, the boss man might be out of town a week or two, but they're going to still call you and say, come get your money. Come get your money. Heavenly Father, as we come before you this day, Lord God, help us, Lord God, to walk in your way, Lord God, to cleanse and purge our life by your word, Lord God, that your word would cleanse us and strengthen us, Lord God, and that we would be able to humble ourselves before you and see our blemishes by your word, read and study your word, and that it purges us and makes us white as snow. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.